This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to the Best of the Men's Room podcast. Let the shenanigans begin.
End of year spectacular. We're wrapping things up here. Where are we heading now, Mike?
We are going to go back in time, back to 2010, to one of the most to one of the most favorite bits of the listeners of the show, that anybody that knows about this. A little bit of a setup here. For those of you that don't know, our very own Steve the Thrill Hill is actually a black man. Mm-hmm. I know that he sounds like a old, fat, white southerner, but he is not.
And Mike's not being insulting. That's what everyone tells me. I thought you were a fat white guy from the south. I've never heard that. I'm a skinny black dude from the north.
So unfortunately, somebody heard this, and not knowing this about Thrill, and Thrill may have said out a word that would offend somebody.
What's the word, Mike? Say it.
I'm going to let Donovan tell you what it is, in fact. So we're going to actually go back in time and talk to Donovan.
Donovan. Okay, let's go back in time.
Time.
Sure. Hello, Donovan. Welcome to the men's room.
How you doing?
Hola.
Hola. Hey, I just wanted to say, man, look, I can understand that you have a game called, you know, Genoopoly, and you have the other game called Redneckopoly and all that stuff. I get it. But being an African-American, hearing you say Niggeropoly is kind of on the fence. You know what I mean? I listen to you guys' show all the time, but it gets a little much when you start throwing the N-word around. You know what I mean?
I hear you, but I will say this. It is absolutely on the fence, but there's two ways you can look at this, and I've taken my own path on this, and true, it's for anyone. The one side says, look, if everyone just stops saying that, the word goes away. And in my experience, that is not even remotely close to being true. So I feel like I'm going to step in reality with that. That's my position on it. You can disagree, but the word hasn't gone away. I can promise you. So the other side of that is, take it head on. What happens is you get to do exactly what you're doing, which is you have a discussion about it head on. Instead of just complaining about what you don't like to hear, which all of us could do, and it's human nature, and you're absolutely right. But the flip side is, when things come up, if you can talk about it in a form like this, not all that political crap, not the soapbox, not the podium. It's not for TV to advertise my hair relaxer and all the rest of this garbage and BS that we're fed all the time. We will sit here and we can have an open and honest conversation. So I get what you're saying. I'm probably not going to stop, but understand that's not to offend you. I'm just saying the point is, at least someone like you calls and says their piece. But I will not sit here and go on the soapbox about it. I can see it could bug people, but the point is, the word does exist. So if it's going to exist, well, I'm going to take it and I'm going to make it my own. I'm not going to run away from stuff. I'm not going to bury my face, and I'm not going to pretend it doesn't happen. That's for guys that are on the soapbox that are lying to you. But that's not the position we're in. That's not something we enjoy people doing to us. So instead of insulting people's intelligence and tiptoeing around the word, because to me there's no difference between saying N-bomb and saying nigger. If you said N-bomb, well, the implication's already there. That's almost more insulting. So I'd rather just say
that's
it
what
directly.
I say.
Me too. I go with N-bomb too.
I go with N-bomb. You tell me how to say it, I'll say it.
If anyone else is listening, I'm an N-bomb guy.
I'm going to speak from the white contingency on this show and say N-bomb is safe by me.
Yeah, it's just not me, man. I just don't bury my head in the sand. It's not good and nothing gets done.
You're not even letting me start. You're not even letting me say anything.
Look, go ahead.
It's like this. You shouldn't say stuff that you wouldn't say in somebody's face. You know what I'm saying?
I would say that in anyone's
that's
face.
That's the truth, because I bet you $5 million to $1 you wouldn't go up when the Seahawks are around and start dropping the N-word without getting, you know, put in your place.
So, why would I drop the N-bomb as a black guy anyway?
Exactly,
I'm a black dude.
Exactly,
why would I say
exactly.
it?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So if you ain't going to say it to somebody's face, you don't even need to say it at all.
Well, Donovan, listen, I would say it to anyone. So I'm not a guy that backs down from saying stuff.
Yeah, I bet you would. I bet you would, and I bet you've never said that in a group of blacks, ever. Ever.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, no, I'm not. And I bet you if you did, you'd get put in your place, little homie.
Why would I get put in my place for what?
You know what.
I don't know what.
Saying that word, yeah, hey, all right.
Donovan.
Test that theory out sometime.
Donovan.
Test it out.
Donovan.
At least.
Donovan, hang on. Do you know that I'm a black dude? So when I do hang out with my black friends, it gets dropped a lot. So I've said it a lot, in front of black people. My family will say it around each other. My little piece of ass cousin, trust me, that's his goddamn nickname
you're
every other month.
That you're black.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, Donovan.
Are you kidding me, Donovan?
Jesus.
Yeah, I'm a black guy. So when I choose to drop the word nigger, that's quite all right.
I'm giving it this.
I'll tell you what, Donovan, check out the website, all right? Just go to KISW.com.
Wow.
So here's my other problem. When people pass judgment because of my voice, because there's some assumption that a black guy is not supposed to sound bright, that's another problem, too.
No one's saying you sound bright, though.
You see what I'm saying, man?
No one's saying you sound bright.
You know, that is a fine point. I just sound white, not smart.
All these years, I keep forgetting Steve's black. I know. It ceases to amaze me. Let's do it again. I'm like, oh, my God.
But I still appreciate Donovan's fire.
Yeah, exactly.
But Ted made a good point.
Again, like you said, he's right.
No, like
Donovan's right.
He's right.
Right.
If I'm a white dude, and so Ted made the point as we're listening, right? So he still thinks I'm a white guy. I'm like, hell, it's my cousin's nickname.
Can you imagine a white person saying that?
And in a decade, of social media, too, you know, we're a little bit more visible than we were in the early days of radio.
It was 2010.
When no one knew what you look like or any of that. So, okay.
Connect with the guys. Find the Men's Room at facebook.com/themensroom. Now, back to the Men's Room on the Men's Room Radio Network.
Yes, friends, it's time once again for Sit and Spin. Let's gather around the old radio and listen to some swellerific new music.
Oh, look who it is.
Oh, what's up, everybody?
For one last time in the year, we have Ryan Castle in the house.
You know, and I thought it was appropriate today, since we are coming towards the end of the year, that we could look back at the history of music. Because it's that time of year where you kind of look back.
How far back in history are we going? Are we talking cavemen banging on drums?
Yes, we're talking rocks in caves on bones.
And this is all types of music, not just rock. Yeah, it's country.
So
it's
I'll
everything.
Give you a little backstory here. Billboard magazine celebrated its 125th year this year. And so they put out their top 125 artists of those 125 years, although there's a little caveat, they didn't start doing a music chart until 1940. So it's really 125 years. You got to, anybody want to take a stab at who in 1940 took the first number one spot in Billboard?
1940.
Yeah.
Ooh.
If you were thinking Tommy Dorsey, you're correct.
All right.
I was thinking Classic. Glenn Miller, but you never
Classic
know.
So Tommy. Prior to that, I mean, it was more or less an advertising magazine.
Yeah, it was about Billboard.
A monthly resume of all of what is new, bright, and interesting on the boards.
And then Billboard,
eventually it kind of turned into more of a music magazine.
Billboard is the total number of units sold, or is it spins?
It's sold, it's radio play, nowadays streaming.
YouTube just got
involved. All that stuff.
Yeah, so in that case, since they started doing this in 1940, so you have someone like Bing Crosby or Frank Sinatra.
Sure.
Radio was not necessarily all music back then, so I'm guessing they don't make, at least not the top 10. Are they in the top 125, though?
Bing's not in the top 125.
Okay. Let's go with this one. Just Guns N' Roses. So Guns N' Roses, they made, I want to say, $500 million. Mm-hmm. On their latest tour.
Sure.
Which is Once in a Lifetime.
Appetite for Destruction, one of the biggest selling rock albums of all time. So for perspective, Guns N' Roses on the list of 125 is number 95.
Damn. Number 95.
All right.
Number
95. All right.
But it makes sense because after Appetite.
Right. But keep in mind, a lot of this is based on radio airplay, and a lot of these bands that were huge. You know, Guns N' Roses had a couple of radio hits. That was
Here's
about
one.
It.
Stone Temple Pilots.
Sure.
They're coming to town. They're doing a little gig. They have tons of hits.
Not on the list.
Not on the list.
At all. And this includes rappers and everything else?
Everybody.
So you got to think, like, Run DMC would have to be on. I mean, they blew it open as far as getting radio.
So they did, but I don't know if they'd be in the top 10.
Run DMC, not on the list. Not in the 125.
Damn!
As many bands and artists that have been out there that a lot of them have not made money in their career based on whatever reason, these 10 bands definitely ended up financially okay, right?
They must have been fine. Here's another one for perspective. Led Zeppelin, you would think pretty high on the list.
Sure.
Number 40.
So these are the top 10 musical artists of all times on Sin and Spin.
Number 10.
Saturday. Whoa.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
I mean, I dig the tune. I'm not going to lie. But
consider radio airplay and all of those things. Chicago had a ton of hits. They were a huge band, multi-format.
I would say when I was growing up in the 70s, for sure, if you put on the radio, you heard Chicago within three songs.
70s and 80s.
I went and saw them this summer, but I didn't think they were loaded. You know?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I would not have guessed
biggest
Chicago.
Biggest artist of all time, according to Billboard.
So there's going to be some odd ones in here.
We already started on.
There's going to be some R&B singers.
Yeah, go ahead. Mariah Carey. Yeah.
Right on cue.
All right.
That's right, America, there is hope for us after all. Stevie Wonder is number 9 on the list.
Lionel Richie, his good friend, just did a lengthy article about he's still almost not positive that Stevie Wonder is blind. He really did. He's like, look, I've been friends with him for years. He's done some weird stuff. He got in Lionel Richie's car and drove it down the driveway at his house.
Wow.
Lionel Richie pulled up in a brand new car. Yes.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, get in the car.
And then he reversed it back down the driveway, and Lionel's like freaking the hell out.
Yeah, because he's blind.
I let Thrill drive my car one time. He went 10 feet and he hit something.
I didn't know the utility poles there in front
it's
of my
your
own
driveway.
House. I know. That's why it's crazy.
These are the top 10 music artists of all times on Sit and Spin.
Number 8. I promise that you'll never find another like me.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I mean.
Right. Yeah.
Not my taste, but she has hits.
Yeah.
I don't. Whatever.
And again, you're talking pop, country.
Taylor Swift.
Screaming, right? Taylor Swift. Mm-hmm.
This was my daughter's first concert, and I did not have to go. The deal was I will buy her a ticket to this expensive-ass concert as long as I don't have to go.
You know who else loved this show?
Who?
Miles Montgomery.
I had a great time.
Yeah.
Well, Taylor Swift's one of those people, too. Like, I say I don't, but, like, that song, I don't know the name of it. You know, like, I know
the
so
song,
many of her songs.
It's just, but Miles always does this. Hey, man, she put on a great show. I'm like, it's Taylor freaking Swift. I assume she put on a great show. The problem is that she played her own music.
Mm-hmm. And that's it. I don't know any of the music that she performed that night. I just know that as far as being a spectator and having no horse in the race, it was a great show.
Sure. And if you're going to do a stadium show, it's going to be a great show.
Right.
You're going to bring the production and all of the things that come along with a big stadium.
These are the top 10 musical artists of all times on Sit and Spin.
Number 7.
That makes sense.
You got to think Michael Jackson's going to be on the list, right?
You got to, man.
I mean, he has hits off the wall, but Thriller alone.
Thriller
just
alone.
Massive.
I mean, if this were about album sales, I mean, Thriller would be at the top
sure.
of the list.
No and problem. You got to feel better, even if you download a Michael Jackson song, knowing that the money now is going to Bubbles, who's at a chimpanzee refuge in Florida. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Miles and I were contemplating.
Living the good life.
Ted, you told us the movie about the Christian Slater had a baboon heart. Right?
Yeah, Untamed Heart.
I said to Miles, would you feel good or bad if you found out you have Bubbles' heart in your chest?
Bubbles never approved any of that nonsense.
Didn't sign off on being an organ donor.
And I'm going to make a movie called Heart of Bubbles. Bubbles.
Top 10 Bubbles musical artists of all time.
Number 6. I am a woman in love, and I do anything to
now you got to go back to the 1970s again.
Is this Babs?
This is Babs. This is Barbra Streisand.
Oh, no kidding.
You know, I cannot stand her for a multitude of reasons, including her BS chocolate allergy when I was living in New Orleans, you lying. But I hate her music, but obviously. She's a massive.
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 Yeah. Was it worse than Travolta's garlic allergy?
Travolta's garlic allergy?
Yeah, didn't you tell me he was?
No, it was Brad Pitt.
Oh, it was Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt
was
phony Streisand
music
ass.
Just sounds sad, and you're alone in a car late at night.
Crying with your mom.
Yeah.
Top 10
Chris Christopher.
Musical artists of all time. Because she's crying.
Number 5.
Makes you sad.
Yeah, I knew Madonna would kill me. You know what this song's about?
You know.
I don't know,
everything
Ted.
That came to mind, like, instantly, I could not say on the radio.
Yeah, I know, me too.
There was, like, 12 things all at once. It was like, whoa.
I thought of, like, a bearskin rug in front of a fire.
I'm thinking Madonna. I'm assuming she's revisiting her 4th birthday.
These are the top 10 musical artists of all times on Sit and Spin.
Number 4.
Oh, there it is.
It might be just this song alone.
She's had hits in, like, forever.
Actually, Mariah Carey, not on the list. I just wanted to play this song. I'm kidding.
She's,
no, she's
on
really
the
number
list.
Four.
Yeah,
she's
she is. She
I'm coming
the
back around
right
this
now.
Song, but, God, I can just picture 4 girls right now. It's like, stop playing it.
Is one of them climbing out of a pool in a black two-piece?
No, that's the good Mariah. I'm just picturing women I've known.
Damn, good Mariah.
Top 10 musical artists of all time. We made it to number 3.
All right.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I will tell you this, best piano player with fingers that fat on earth.
It's really weird that he could do that. He must have had extra big piano keys.
I mean, it looks like someone took Vienna sausages and glued them to a palm
and
said, play!
And the white keys were shorter so he could reach the black
ones.
All right, wait, so we have 2 left.
Right? We are at number 2, yes.
Yeah, we got
number 2.
Number 2.
I'm going to guess a Beatles song.
I'm going to guess Dead Air.
Hmm. This one makes it.
If you've ever listened to my show, this would be number one.
Two. Number two.
All right, who's the artist? I'll sing a song by him.
Rolling Stones.
Ahead. Oh, go ahead, Ted.
Oh.
Do Satisfaction.
I can't get no satisfaction, but I try, and I try, and I try, and I try.
I can't get no.
You know, it's remarkable.
Hat that fits my head.
I thought Keith Richards was invincible, but somehow this just killed him.
Oh, my God.
Okay, these are the top 10 musical artists of all time. So we made it to number one.
Hey, Jude.
Oh, there you go. They had to show up.
Yeah, I get the feeling they're going to be number one on a lot of lists.
They probably win every list contest ever, right?
You would think, yeah.
It's quite blowing, actually, now.
Is there a number associated with them monetarily or anything like that?
We can't count that high, Miles.
I was going to say.
I still think they should have gone with Hey, Dude.
Paul McCartney is on the list as a solo artist at number 12 also.
Damn,
he's doing okay.
Paul McCartney's doing all right.
Dude, his career has wings.
How about Hey Prude?
Elvis Presley was number 13, Janet Jackson 14, Rod Stewart 15. In at number 16.
What about like Jay-Z?
Yeah,
I can let you know.
I'm on the list.
Yeah, somewhere.
I mean, see, I'm just trying to there's gotta be some rapper that's had that much airplay.
He's number 50.
Reach out to the guys on Twitter at Men's Room Live. Now, back to the Men's Room on the Men's Room Radio Network.
All right, it is our end of year spectacular. What do we have up there next, Mike?
It is the time you've all been waiting for. It's time to cover every single loss of Ted versus FTC.
Oh, really? Okay, how many do we have?
Ted, you had a magnificent season. You played really well. Woo. He ended the season 25-10.
Oh, 25-10. That has to be a record.
Oh, yeah. I think so. I'd have to go back and check. But, yeah, it's been an exceptional year for Ted this year.
Yeah, I'm playing a home game.
So, ladies and gentlemen, here you go. Here is every miss in Ted versus the FCC for the year. As we go back in time.
The town of Fig Buck is full of fellas. The town of Buck Fig has all the ladies. All the Fig Buck fellas love the fine Buck Fig ladies.
And three times fast.
The town of Fig. The town of Fig Buck is full of fellas. The town of Buck Fig has all the ladies. All the Fig Buck fellas love the fine Buck Fig ladies.
Three times fast.
The town of Fig Buck is full of fellas. The town of Buck Sailor Clint has a dirty crock. Clint uses his ship spit to clean his dirty crock. Get your spitty ship cook crock out of my ship. Spit crocks are not safe.
Three times fast.
Sailor Clint has a dirty crock. Clint uses his ship spit to clean his dirty crock. Get your spitty ship The sun is shining, and in a shallow pool, Ryan Castle shyly sits. Shyly sitting, he shaves his armpits and naughty bits. He sits and shaves and sits until he's very smooth and slick.
Three times fast.
The sun is shining, and in a shallow pool, Ryan Castle shyly sits. Shyly sitting, he shaves his armpits and naughty bits. He sits and shaves and sits until he's very smooth and silk.
What?
The sun is shining, and in a shallow pool, Ryan Castle shyly sits. If Chuck can't cut the chunky cut and incontinent, Kent can't cut the chunky cut, who can cut a chunk from Chuck or Kent's cut?
Three times fast.
If Chuck can't cut the chunky cut and incontinent, can't cut the chunky cut. Who can cut a chunk from Chuck or Kent's c-
oh.
Shy Share shyly sits at the Share show sipping schlitz and sharing spliffs.
Three times fast.
Shy Share shyly sits at the Share show sipping slits and sharing spliffs.
One.
Shy Share shyly at Share show slipping. Kent can't help but cuddle Kendra's cute country cut continuously. Kent cuddles Kendra's country cut while she creates cute country blunt cut quilts bluntly for fans.
Three times fast.
Kent can't help but cuddle Kendra's cute country cut continuously. Kent cuddles Kendra's cut. Cooper Cup can cut. Cooper Cup can't punt. If Cooper Cup can't make this cut, then Cooper Kupp will have to punt. A drop kick punt over a five-man front.
Three times fast.
Cooper Kupp can Nick, the net knitter, is a good net rigger. He knits nets bigger than most nets riggers. Most Nick knitters knit net knots bigger. Nice net knitter.
Three times fast.
Nick, the net knitter, is a good net rigger. He nets his nets net bigger. The most net riggers, most Nick Twyla squats to twirl her taunt curly locks. Twirly curly taunt locks caught in Twyla's top while gawking at clock. So twirling Twyla fought and unlocks taut curly locks.
Three times fast.
Twyla squats to twirl her taunt curly locks. Twirly curly taunt locks caught in Twyla's top while gawking at a clock. So twirling Twyla fought and unlocks taunt curly locks.
One.
Twyla squats and twirls her taunt curly
Hell of a year in Ted versus the FCC. Only 10 year. Defeats. That was unbelievable. There
Says
you
some
go.
Terrible things, Ted.
Yeah, my bad, Doc.
Want more of The Men's Room? Download the new podcast from Miles and Thrill, The Greatest Story Never Told. Available on radio.com.
Ooh. Ladies and gentlemen, joining us live in studio from Chelsea, lately insatiable comedian Sarah Colonna.
Hello.
And her husband, John Ryan. John, Sarah, welcome back.
Thank
Good
you.
To see you guys again. Yeah, you probably didn't know the birthday song from Chi-Chi's because you grew up in Arkansas and Saskatchewan didn't have Chi-Chi's.
No.
So that was probably a real pleasure for you.
I still don't know what a Chi-Chi is.
You don't know what a Chi-Chi's is?
No,
this
I
was
didn't.
Like one of the first sit-down casual Mexican restaurant chains in America. And the reason it's no longer around is because they sucked.
Yeah,
they really did.
And they sang that song.
But, I worked there early in my working life. I learned that birthday song. Don't be jealous. Feel free to steal it.
I liked it.
And we continue the spirit of Chi-Chi's.
Yeah, you're going to be 45 coming up here, so we can wish you the birthday song
December
as well.
Yeah, December 29th.
You guys do anything fun?
We're going to Mexico.
Are you really? The place of your wedding?
Part?
Yes, Tulum.
Tulum. Yeah. Tulum.
Yeah.
Okay. What's
I
the
usually
plan?
Go to Mexico every year for Christmas. I do.
You do.
Because it's warm.
Yeah.
I'm not going there this year.
Why?
I'm going to Philly because I'm stupid.
Do you guys do
That's
the
not warm.
The
no.
touristy couple excursions when you guys
no.
go on vacation?
No.
You don't like scuba diving?
Kind of lifestyle or no. You know, go out on the pirate ship or whatever the hell they've got.
Not a thing.
We wake up and lay by the pool and drink until it's dinner time, and then we eat dinner, go to bed, and repeat.
Yeah. No, wait. Is nice. This on the ocean? Is this a city on the ocean? A town on the ocean?
Yeah.
Then why do you lay by the pool? I don't know why. That just bugs me.
Well,
like, you want to be near
by
water.
The ocean.
I got you. So from the pool, you can see the ocean.
Because that's where they have the cocktails.
Understood.
And then you walk down to the beach with your cocktail, and then you come back up, and you lay by the pool. That's where they have the service, and then you can.
I dig it. Okay.
Listen, I work it out.
And rinse and repeat.
It's no Chi-Chi's.
Do you ever
but,
hit,
you know.
No Chi-Chi's for
is,
sure.
Do you ever hit the gym? Just to mean for a half an hour, the entire time you're on vacation. Do you just try to get there every once in a while?
He does.
Yeah.
John does.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? I mean, it's a vacation. Because
he's
man.
A professional football player.
I know,
player.
But you still get a vacation.
I try to hit it three or four times when we're there for a week or so.
Okay. All
so right. It's not hardcore, but a quick hour.
I actually try to gain weight while I'm there.
That's a hell of a goal. Yeah. Tortilla soup. That would be a great way. Congratulations on Insatiable and the success of Netflix. John, congratulations on a great year as well. I know you were a special teams player for the Rough Riders. I have an interesting theory, John, about your career, and I want to see if you could follow along here, okay?
Okay.
Because other than one exception to the rule, all right, I tend to feel that there's a theme here, and it could be something out of the Urban Dictionary. Now, when you were in college, you went to the University of Regina, is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You played for the Regina Rams.
Yes.
So you were in fact
there.
You were in fact a Regina Ram.
Yes.
Is that not true? Okay.
Correct.
Then you played for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. The Blue Bomber almost sounds like a euphemism for something else.
It is in certain circles.
Okay. Yeah. So again,
but it's illegal in seven
you're
states.
You're a Regina Ram. You're a Blue Bomber. And then what a deal. The NFL signs you. And what team do you think John goes to?
The Packers.
Packers. Now this is pretty exciting. Right. Do you see a theme going on here?
It's kind of like, it's just destiny.
We start with
Sometimes
Regina
the
Regina Ram.
The universe is telling you something.
So he's a Regina Ram, and then he's a Blue Bomber, and then he's a Packer, and then, of course, a Seattle Seahawk.
That's when things changed for him.
You are, in fact, a Saskatchewan Rough Rider. Yeah.
Because he couldn't resist.
I mean, I never thought of my career so dirty before until right now.
I mean, isn't it though?
It's like Urban Dictionary.
All right, well, on that note, Sarah, did you know that you are, as best I can tell, this is just circumstantial evidence, it's a thing called a crurophiliac.
No.
Okay. Now, again, it's the same kind of theory. So while he's researching you, John, I'm researching you, Sarah, and you have a new special called I Can't Feel My Legs.
Right.
Okay. You had a best-selling book called Has Anyone Seen My Pants?
Right.
And then you married a guy who's a punter.
Right.
Who uses his legs. You have a fetish for legs, you're a crurophiliac.
Oh.
See, again, you don't see what the universe is telling
you. You guys dig
deep.
We really do. We do a lot of research.
We do.
We have a team of writers.
Research.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is the hard-hitting stuff that you don't get.
Karen, we have the best researchers.
Like, I would not have known that about myself.
Well, now you do.
Yeah, and I feel weird.
You should. Get this weird to all of us.
Sarah and John, by the way, hosting Tacoma Comedy Club this weekend. You got a show tonight. You got a couple shows on Friday night and on Saturday night. I know the earlier shows are 18 and over. So if you want to go and you're that age, if not, you get dirtier as the night goes on.
21
correct?
And for over on that, yeah.
And what's the difference, do you think, in your 21 and older set and your 18 and older set? Is
nothing.
There a line?
No, I don't hold back for the 18. If they're going to come to a comedy club that is, you know, they just can't drink their blues away, but I can say what I want.
Yeah?
Well,
yeah.
I mean, they're legally adults.
Yeah, they probably come in on an edible or something.
Yeah, they're exactly. They're coming in. But they're legally adults, right? Yeah, so that's how I excuse it. It's fine.
Yeah. What's the best part for you guys coming back into Seattle and just seeing the city again? Has it changed that much? I know you haven't gone that long, but has it changed a lot?
Yeah, it is the best part is just seeing the people again. I know that sounds cheesy, but when I come to Seattle, I just feel like I'm home again. You know, I spent 10 years here and absolutely loved it and just love the people. So that's the big thing for me is I just feel home when I get here.
And now you guys are down in what, Los Angeles, I'm assuming?
Yeah.
Is that where you are? So the sunshine and all that stuff?
That's it is pretty nice there.
Yeah, I would have to think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be
what's the worst part about L.A., though? I mean, you always hear like traffic and all this.
I mean, yeah, just people.
Just people.
Just there's people millions there. Of people there, so that's a big statement.
And they almost all
stop. A lot of them are awful. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you get casting calls and stuff like that. Is it really that bad? Is it just, I mean...
It's just, you know, it's just that you just feel awful about yourself 97% of the time doing this. But, like, now I'm at a point, which is nice, where I'm on a show. And then so there's sort of, like, people, when I go into a casting room, it's not as much like they don't look up and don't care. And you just talk and then they just shuffle you out. Like, at least they're a little more like, oh, Sarah, we kind of
What are some of the roles that you have read for or auditioned for where we might know some of the shows now?
Well, I one time read, this is probably the worst audition I ever gave, was I read for The Handmaid's Tale. But I didn't know, I hadn't read the book, and I also didn't know, it wasn't out yet. This
right.
was like before it started. So it has this language, like under his eye and all this stuff, things that I was like, I was like, this is the weirdest. Like, and I love that show, by the way, now that I've seen it. But I auditioned for someone on that show, and I'm reading these, you know, and I was just like, under his eye, and it's like saying all this stuff, making no sense. And he was like, John was recording it for me because we were actually in Mexico at the time. So it was like in a hotel room. I just hope that casting tape never comes out.
Did you know how heavy that the TV show was supposed to be at the time you're reading?
No, because they don't give you anything other than what you're seeing that you're reading.
Okay.
So you don't get the whole script. You don't get to, you know. And at the time, I hadn't even read the book. So I was just like completely just saying ridiculous things. And they were probably like, this girl gets nothing.
Right.
She has no idea what she's talking about.
How are you liking working on Insatiable?
It's fun. It's really fun. It's a really crazy show. And it's like, it's very over the top. And like this season, I've gotten to do so many things. Like I had really big fake boobs this season that there's a
whole story. Well,
John
had to appreciate that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They were
too big.
Too big.
They were a lot.
Is it, how do they do
that? How long do you have to have the boobs on that it bothers you, John? Like, come on, baby. You got to take them off before you get home, something.
She's wore them till midnight every night. And then I said, you got to take them off now for bedtime.
It was like, basically this bra that had these things like put in them, and they were so heavy they actually gave me a pillow to put underneath my boobs, like in between takes. I had to put this pillow underneath them to like relieve the pressure off my back. It was really
ridiculous.
Did
that give you sympathy for people who are larger chested, you know, as far as how they have to live their life?
It actually did, because I have a friend who's always complaining about her boobs being too big, and I was like, oh, I get it. And I got to take mine off, so like she actually just lives this life.
Because as guys, we just go, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you just think they're wonderful, but you can't run.
Not John. Not John.
We can't run from you guys when we're wearing those kind of boobs.
You make us sound so good.
That sounds horrible.
Absolutely.
You know, when you take chase us through the woods and everything, man.
Are you guys going to go see family over the holidays? What is the grand plan here?
No, we try not to.
Do you really try to stay away from the family?
We're here for a little bit, and then we'll be in LA for a day, and then we'll go straight to Mexico. And I mean, I've been back home in Canada for the last 5 or 6 months, so I've had my fill.
And it's cold.
And it's okay. Cold. It's freezing.
Now, John, with you, man, you know, like, so, sir, I mean, you have a career in stand-up comedy. John, everyone knows you as a punter if they know you, right? It's like, oh, John, right? And now you're doing a bit of stand-up yourself, right? And I'm seeing these things. Like, do you feel any added pressure? No offense, but, like, your wife, this is your profession. This is what you do.
He better feel pressure.
The science, yeah. The art, the whole thing. And then you got to walk out there to, quote, unquote, warm up the crowd.
Right, right. Now, I don't feel that much pressure. I mean, I'm...
Is it because of the act that you're opening?
It's more the people I'm performing in front of. I know my crowd. I know I'm in the Pacific Northwest. I know that people know me. They know the kind of angle I'm going to bring to this. Like, if I did the same show in Toledo, I'd eat, you know what? I'd be terrible.
Have you ever done it outside of the Pacific Northwest?
No, and I never will.
Oh, come on.
Never will. No.
Come on now.
I have to say, though, like, the first time he did this, so he hosts the show. Like, he opens it up, so he'll do that tonight, TacomaComedyClub.com. He opens it up, and I was like, we did it in Everett, and also at the Triple Door. We did it a couple places. And I was like, oh, God, I was so nervous about, you know, I know that he's so funny, but he didn't, he went up there, he had this great material written. The crowd was loving it, obviously, and, like, I was so proud. I was like, oh, my God, this is awesome. Like, this is so much fun.
More John, have you ever thought about stealing her jokes just to wreck the whole
thing? Yeah, just
go
out
there, right, do her set.
All the good stuff, all the A material that you know she's going to go to, just make her improv.
That'd be really funny.
We should just swap places tonight.
Yeah,
right, exactly. More proud watching John on stage or on a football field?
Well, I mean, I guess there's pride in both, but obviously the work that he puts into football is, you know, beyond anything else. It's really impressive.
Oh, we know Miles used to be a punter. It's not now.
Let me ask you a question. Now, so you go to, you've been obviously to many NFL games. Now you go to Canadian Football League games as well. What is the biggest difference as far as being a fan that you notice as far, obviously the football is a little bit different, but not all the way different, but what is the difference in the experience of going to a Rough Riders game?
Well, for me, the hardest thing is, so they punt on third down, and so those two and out come really quickly, and I have to time out getting my beers around that.
Okay. Where
in Seattle, after he'd punt, I'd be like, oh, I got a minute. I can go up there and get a beer and get a drink. And now it's like, I need to get someone to bring them to me.
And you got to really drink hard. Molson.
Yeah, that too. Oh, and they also pour, they pour very stingy drinks in Canada.
Really?
Yeah, the 1 ounce, nothing.
You're
else.
Kidding me.
Because we know you was drunk here. Right. I mean, come on.
Talking to comedian Sarah Colonna and John Ryan. John, does that mean you punted like twice as much as you normally would in a season?
Not twice as much, but a lot more. I mean, they have a 20-second play clock, and you know, you have three downs, so you can be on the sideline for not very long between punts where, you know, especially for all those years with the Seahawks when we were winning 12 or 13 games a year, you know, you get a little bit bored over there at times for, you know,
I was going to ask you,
first down, is it a good day
as a punter, right? Because everyone loves their punter, but at the same time, nobody wants to see their punter.
Right.
It doesn't matter what team you support. You love the guy, don't want to see him. Yeah. So for you to say, hey, I had a great game, does that mean, look, I only had to punt once and it went 63 yards, or I punted seven times and got us out of trouble?
So usually, personally, as a punter, your best games are the games you lose. You know, because I mean,
I'm serious.
That's when you're on the field. You're on the field for 8 or 9 times. You're kicking the ball. And you're doing all that. And then a lot of times, like in the Super Bowl, I kicked one time in the fourth quarter.
So you're like, that was all right.
The good Super Bowl. But those are the games you want. But at the same time, you're like, when I feel like I contribute, everyone else in the locker room is down. You know,
it's true. When you're a Pro Bowl punter, I mean, most of the time it's from one of the worst teams in the league because they punt the most.
So you have to celebrate alone. Like everyone else, it's a real down locker room. And here you are. Like,
Now, do you have any punts that? Like, are higher up than throwing the touchdown pass?
No, I don't think there's anything higher than a touchdown pass. I mean, that's a dream for anyone, but for a punter, you only get like a couple opportunities. Even and I've played for 16 years of pro football, and I've really only gotten a couple opportunities like that to happen in the NFC Championship. I don't think anything.
And you completed a pass this year, and they called it back on the flag.
That's right. Thanks.
Damn, we can rub it in, bro. We do our homework around here.
You've got there's a bigger field, so instead of trying to pin someone in, you can just knock the living Jesus. You know what I mean? You can kill the ball. So how far? What's your farthest punt this year?
77
yards.
Punt talk.
Thanks for that. Well, I mean, I'm just curious.
I want that sound bite.
Because you got it all. I mean, you got the whole field. So, you know,
hit it again for
me. Yeah, come on now. I'm sorry.
Punt Talk.
Oh, thanks for
that's
that.
That's so good.
That's fantastic.
Well, I knew at some point you guys were going to have to get into talking punting. We got to make a sound effect for punt talk.
Right, that's really good. That's thank really you. Good. I made my day.
Wait a minute. We got to close for it, too.
Okay.
This has been Punt
Talk. But we're not done.
Where the toe meets the pig.
Jesus.
We got you covered,
right,
man.
Are you still kicking it over in, or are you turning it over more?
I get to turn it over a lot more.
You have to.
It was a
distance.
Lot more fun.
Sure, sure, sure.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah, but, okay. Yeah, just it was definitely a different game with a bigger field.
Good times. Now, after you guys go down and celebrate your anniversary or your place of wedding and all that, what's in store for next year? Do you guys got any big plans? What's going on for the new year for you guys?
I don't know. Touring. We'll see what he's going to do.
And John, do you go on the road when Sarah does the when Doug goes stand up for a weekend? Do you get a chance to see the cities and do all that?
When I can, 90% of the time, I go with her wherever she's going. It's usually a lot of fun.
That's a nice thing to say. Mm-hmm. Hey, real quick, someone wanted to know, John, about your American Ninja experience.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
It was amazing. It was so much fun to do. It was 4 or 5 years ago. Going into it, I kind of knew. I was training with some of the other guys, the Ninja Warrior guys. A lot of these guys were like 135, maybe 150 pounds. At the time, I think I was in the best shape of my life. I was about 230 pounds. So it was like.
It's not built for you at a point, right?
A giant ginger kid going out there at 230 has no chance on that course whatsoever.
And the ginger has fallen.
It was a lot of fun, but I knew I was going to get to about as far as I did on the third or fourth obstacle.
They had to sneak you in, too, because really you're a Canadian ninja. And
right.
They did not
know
that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I snuck right in. Yeah. Didn't even show him my green card.
Can't get enough of the Men's Room? Listen to the Men's Room Daily Podcast on the radio.com app.
All right, Robin, things up here on our end of the year spectacular. And I believe I know what's coming, Mike. Do you want to?
Oh, do you know what's coming, Miles?
I think I have an idea.
Oh, it could be. It
seems to be the same thing every year.
Yeah, that's pretty much true.
Until it gets topped, you know what I mean? It's pretty hard to beat, right?
This is probably the most iconic.
This is a fan favorite. This is, trust me, all year. Honest to God, man, comments come in all year. They just want to hear this clip.
That's right.
Where Ted really is a terrible person.
And we were hoping.
I am.
We were hoping he'd reach out so we could ask him, like, if you order the oysters, do you just use the fork, you know, for the rest of your meal?
I need a table for two and a cocktail fork.
Do you have an emulsion blender? The questions he asks when he's, you know.
Time to go back to 2011 and Teeny Tiny Mouth Guy.
For better or for worse, what trait did you inherit from your parents, and what trait of yours do you hope to not pass down to your kids?
Hello, Sam. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
All right, Sam. So what did you inherit from your parents?
Well, it doesn't sound as bad as the last guy I had, but I got crooked teeth, and I also hate my freckles.
Freckles? Who's got freckles, your mom or your dad?
Mostly my dad.
Okay. Are they all over the place or just your face?
Pretty much everywhere. I have a nice tan line, so just on the back of my hands and my forearms and face, mostly.
Well, are you a ginger?
No.
You're
my
not.
Brother's ginger, but I'm not.
So what are you, like a blonde? Like Sandy Brown? Yeah, you're basically a redhead. That's what it is. You're just getting that. You're getting the skin from your dad.
Captain Freckles. Do you, and you say the crooked teeth as well.
Do you burn easy?
Oh, yeah.
All right. I think that's the redhead gene in you, even though your hair's not exactly red.
Well, it's the Irish anyway. It's Northern European, at least.
Yeah, because they don't see the sun much. But you said you also have the crooked teeth.
Yeah, well, in counting baby teeth pulled, I've had around 14 teeth pulled growing up, so I got to avoid braces, but...
No, there's nothing left to put the wires on.
Did you say counting baby teeth?
Yeah, I had to have baby teeth pulled out, and then they pulled out some of the adult teeth underneath them as well.
Were they just too many teeth you had in your mouth?
The right amount of teeth, just my mouth wasn't big enough for them all. I mean, I have a full smile now. There's no gaps. It's just...
You got a tiny little mouth.
So wait, how many teeth do you have in your mouth?
I don't know. I mean, it has plenty, it seems.
Do your teeth, no one's ever going to talk about your teeth. That's one thing that people really don't like to touch on as far as any kind of hygiene thing with someone else.
Well, when I mention it, people say my teeth look nice. So.
Have you had any work done to them?
No. No braces or anything. It's just
so they had to remove normal teeth that we all have, but your mouth was so tiny that they had to leave you with a certain.
My jaw's just a little shorter than it should be. It's just maybe my teeth are big. I don't know.
You were so happy when sliders started getting taken over, weren't you? They started coming up on me like, it's a little hamburger for my little tiny mouth and my tiny teeth.
No, I don't have issues with that.
I'm just kidding, man.
But if you were to smile, it would just look like a normal smile. We wouldn't think, like, man, his mouth looks right. Tiny.
These 100-calorie snack packs are great. Just enough for my little mouth.
You ever look at the quarter-pound Big Bite and just wish?
No, my mouth looks completely normal. Don't worry about that.
I cannot do a club sandwich. Or a Big Mac.
Don't ever go to the Carnegie Deli. It's tough enough for normal people. But your small mouth.
A little tiny mouth.
Oh, we're taking a D test.
For better or worse.
He doesn't even eat hot dogs. He just eats pigs and like.
He eats his little Vienna sausages. A little tiny wiener.
Oh, yeah, what a cocktail wiener.
For better or for worse, what trait did you inherit from your parents, and what trait of yours do you hope to not pass down to your kids?
That he loves those carrots.
He is so happy that he called right now.
Like those asses. I don't have a small mouth. Stupid.
You're right. Those 100-calorie snack packs are right there in his wheelhouse.
Oh, man.
He gets a little tiny Oreo. It'll fit right in.
He'd like a chipmunk. Juice box.
What if we had to get a little tired of spoons?
How long do you think it needed a piece of corn on the cob?
Those mini cupcakes started coming out.
God damn it. He loves corn from Chinese restaurants.
Oh, it's not the Jimmy and Tiny
corn. Tiny corn.
Sorry, man.
You don't have a tiny mouth, man.
Oh, man, we are horrible people. God.
For better or for worse.
You're just working so hard on that little tiny corn.
For better or for worse, what trait did you inherit from your parents, and what trait of yours did you hope to not pass down to your kids?
Is this a normal tomato? Cherry.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I mean, he said, I had a right amount of teeth, I just didn't fit my tiny mouth.
Oh, jeez.
Okay.
Okay.
Are we good?
I don't know.
Here's the best part about the tiny Asian corn. Is that he has normal hands, and it's a little corn on the cob, and he's eating it with his tiny mouth. And yeah, you're right, Miles. I picture him eating everything with his hands, right there.
Holy crap, dots. Taking a ton of ice cream pellets.
Oh, man. All right. By the way.
Sweet, are those cheesecake bites? Yeah. I ate so much. I had 4 sliders. 2 cheesecake bites.
Oh, man.
We're still in the air.
Yeah, we're here. We're just gonna,
All right.
I heard someone say a tiny mouth.
I don't know why that's so funny.
I'll stretch that out. Oh, you're a guy. Sorry, my bad.
What if he gets rid of the slideshow?
If you get rid of the slideshow, buddy, I'll stretch that mouth out of you. Let's just take a break. This is a disaster. For better or worse, what trade did you inherit from your parents? And what
Our show's a disaster. We hope you enjoyed.
Woo. Man, oh, man. I really don't understand what it is we do.
Thank you so
much. Thank you for listening, man. Honest to God. Happy holidays to everyone.
Yeah, Merry
except
Christmas.
Except Big Sheila. In the meantime, do what you do best. And for Aletha's sake, stay beautiful.
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Men's Room podcast. Want more of the Men's Room? The greatest story never told with Miles and Thrill. Also available on radio.com.
Aw, man!
A Double Flush production.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.